Hello and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Travis Troll with Flint Global. Hi, Travis.
Hey.
Thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
So you are like the, I think, the entrepreneurial epitome of entrepreneurial. So give us a little snippet of what Flint Global is.
So Flint Global, we are a international nonprofit. We equip people in emerging markets and in challenging environments to develop businesses that will have a positive impact on their families and communities.
So you're kind of similar to what we do at the Biz Foundry,
right?
But on this global level.
Right. We work in Africa, Asia, Latin America with groups, with individuals, and yeah.
So I mean, obviously I know kind of your background, but tell us, I mean, to go global seems so odd, but so tell us about your childhood.
Right. So, yeah, we didn't just aspire to go global. I just was kind of born that way. So I was born in Kenya in East Africa and grew up there. At this point, I've spent probably half of my life here in the States and about half of my life in East Africa, both as a child and as an adult.
And why
this
were
is just
your parents?
The natural path.
Your parents are from Alabama, is that?
My mom grew up in Alabama. My dad grew up in, he was a Air Force kid, France, Morocco, California.
So he kind of had some global elements to his
right.
lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they decided, let's go to Kenya and start a family.
Exactly. They moved to Kenya in 1984, I think, as missionaries. And worked there as missionaries for a long time.
And so what was life like growing up in Kenya? And what values did that instill in you to take to today?
Yeah. You know, to me it was normal. That's all I knew. But we lived pretty remote. It's a good sized town now, but
for Kenya.
Back yeah.
But it's
right.
not like Cookville.
No. It's like a Kenya version of Cookville, but it's much smaller. But back then it was very remote, took a full day to get there by dirt roads from a major city. And we had elephants. Our dogs would chase elephants at night.
Oh,
we'd hear them off in the forest behind our house. And we grew up, my brother and I, our friends were herding cows for their parents and roaming in the woods. And, it was just kind of wild.
At that point, do you think growing up there, you thought, I want to help people start businesses. I have this business sense. Do you think as a kid you kind of, or like you said, it was just, that was normal.
I had zero business interest until fairly late, relatively in life. What happened as a kid was I grew up very familiar with people dealing with challenges and difficult circumstances that are much more extreme than we typically see here in the States. So best friends of mine who didn't necessarily know where their next meal would come from. You know, I remember shaking the hands of an old man with leprosy as probably a 6-year-old. Street kids coming up, sniffing glue to get rid of the hunger, who were just begging for food. So those kinds of things are really more what led me here, because when I got into business as an adult, I was living in Tanzania and I was trying to figure out what is a solution to these problems that actually lasts. You know, giving food helps and is needed, but it's not sustainable for that.
Do you
person.
Think that kind of lit a fire in you that,
yeah,
you know, we're kind of throwing water on a, you know, yeah, or whatever. We're throwing some simple solutions on a huge major problem.
Exactly. I spent my childhood seeing those issues and not just seeing them like, you know, some abstract or foreign situation, but literally my friends and people I considered family and still do seeing their struggle, returning as an adult, having studied, you know, nonprofit approaches and all kinds of things, and wanting to come try to help, and then seeing so many of those things fall short. Like, I basically have a lifetime of seeing nonprofits do good, do needed things, do important things, but not seeing it last, and seeing people still suffering. And, you know, these people are, these are friends.
Yeah.
And I'm, it did, light a fire is a great word for it.
In case you're just joining us, we have Travis Truel from Flint Global, which is a 501c3, a nonprofit that helps economic development globally.
Right.
And so you were just talking about how you grew up in Africa, in Kenya, mm-hmm. and you came stateside. How old were you?
I first came stateside, I was 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so did you go to school here? What was your path into kind of young adulthood? Not that you're old now, but...
Yeah, yeah. So we moved to Arkansas. We were there for a year. And then we moved to Alabama. I would still spend a lot of summers back in Kenya. So...
It's funny, like, people are like, oh, I go visit my family in Michigan or whatever. And you're like, I just went to Kenya for the summer.
Yep, exactly. That was, I would go back with my parents oftentimes, but sometimes without, and just be with my Kenyan friends and family there for the summer. But so I lived in Alabama from probably third or fourth grade to... my junior year of high school, I was in Chicago for a year, back to Alabama, and then went off to college in Arkansas.
In Arkansas. And so what, at that point, again, was it business? Were you thinking, okay, I need this?
No, not at all. I knew I was interested in being, I knew that I couldn't walk away from being a global person, and I knew that my long-term path was tied to East Africa. Even if that just meant, you know, as a, in my spare time. But, no, I went and I studied theology and I studied literature, and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. And then after college, I moved to, well, then I started a master's in theology, and I moved with a team of people to Tanzania, do economic development and to do missionary work as a group. So we had 3 other families on our team. 2 families were focused on disciple making and 2 families were focused on economic development. And that was myself.
And you, so that's kind of where you started in that economic development path. Did you think at the time, I might not know as much as I should for this, because, you know, literature and theology are not exactly the business skills.
Right. Well, I didn't go to, you know, really I went thinking more about community development. So in the community development world, there are a lot of approaches and strategies. Most of those are not business oriented. It's things like sanitation and hygiene, peace and reconciliation issues, and I had studied a lot in all of those areas. A lot of my studies were in intercultural issues. So, but yeah, definitely. I went in young and naive, and I had no idea. I knew that I knew how things worked on the ground really well because I was so familiar with it. I had always been there. But,
which kind of probably brought some more perspective than maybe other people who just sit in the classroom and learn a lot of stuff.
Right. Mine was a very, looking back on it, I think about it like someone who has never studied business, has never studied anything related to entrepreneurship, but they're just a practical go-getter. They see a problem. You know, they see that someone needs their weeds sprayed and they go buy a weed a backpack sprayer, and they walk around spraying it, and then they find someone else, and they kind of bootstrap it and grow it from there, turn it into a big business. So for me, it wasn't at that point in my life, it was a very practical, grassroots, I want to get on the ground, I want to understand what the problems are, and I want to get after it, and I'll learn what I have to learn as I do it.
Which I'm kind of this, I used to be a teacher, but I feel like there's a lot of life that can be done that way, a lot of business, a lot of careers that you can kind of just do it and figure it out as a lot of businesses that way. So, you adjust as you go along. I'm sure that you never had the knowledge to start a nonprofit yourself and get a 501c3 status and all that kind of stuff that you just, I mean, I think with Google nowadays, you can kind of do anything, but.
Yeah, so there's pros and cons. I definitely went into it naive, and I think I'm a big believer in you start doing things and you learn it as you go, but at the same time, you have to at least know the landscape in a general way or be connected to people who do, or you get into trouble. And so I quickly learned how little I knew, and I quickly learned that I had to figure out how to learn more. Later, once I stumbled into business and using business as a solution, and I started developing businesses in East Africa, here in the States, that's when I really learned that you don't need a degree in anything. You need to believe that you can figure it out, but you need to be able to put in the work to figure it out from there.
That's very true. We're going to talk more about that when we get back in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Travis Truel with Flint Global. And so you've talked a lot about your childhood and growing up in Africa and kind of then doing mission work and kind of how that's brought you to where you are today. But what brought you to Cookeville, Tennessee?
Yeah, so I was working in Tanzania. We lived there for 5 years. My wife and I, we had a kid while we lived there. And some local complicated political matters, suddenly we were out of that country and back in the States. And I co-started a real estate business in Alabama, ran that for a few years. And then I came to Cookeville for a business opportunity here with a farm tool production and online farming course business.
And so you came here for farm, which, I mean, you've done some agricultural stuff in your other, and so you came here and then decided, are you still doing that?
No. So before I moved here, I had started doing work on the side. An international nonprofit based in Brentwood had approached me and said, you know, basically they had asked me to do some, to help them in some of their work in Africa, to do some troubleshooting, to develop some tools. And they were looking for someone who fit a very specific niche of merging business and nonprofit, of applying business thinking, business principles to global economic development. And they got connected with me. I started traveling on the side, helping them out with some different things. Then I moved to Cookeville for this business opportunity. Did that for a little while with an old friend who I actually met in Tanzania, who lives south of Sparta. And that business is thriving. It's in partnership with a farmer in New York, Neversink Farm. But then this nonprofit asked me to come on board full time. And for me, it was a bringing together of this business life I had been living in the States and the business work I had begun doing in Tanzania, and just my desire to be connected to Africa and to be working globally.
So as you started working for this other nonprofit, they kind of started parting ways and focusing a little bit differently than what you wanted. And so you decided Flint Global was something that you were going to start. So you are the president, CEO? What are you?
Executive director.
Executive director, okay.
Yeah, so I am still helping them. They have pivoted into market creation. So, you know, we could go into all kinds of weeds about the way all of this works.
We don't need to talk about them.
Yeah,
we need to talk about you.
They've pivoted, and so they're kind of branching off in a direction. And in partnership with them, with their blessing, I'm taking a certain area of the work, but also doing some other things that they don't do.
Can you tell us why you chose the name Flint?
Yes. Flint is a reference to the small, unassuming stone, a simple tool that in the hands of the right person, used the right way, creates a spark and ignites a fire. So we like to say, we equip local problem solvers to ignite change through business and entrepreneurship. So business and entrepreneurship is the route to a larger goal, which is impacting people's lives. So most of the people we serve live in what organizations would define as extreme poverty, less than $2 a day, and are struggling to pay basic medical bills, keep food on the table. And we equip them to use business as a solution that will actually last and sustain their families and create generational change. We also work with people higher up on the economic scale as well. And we're starting a entrepreneurship center in Kenya, and that will be revenue producing to help fund our work with people who cannot currently access that kind of resource.
In case you're just joining us, we have Travis Truel from Flint Global, which is an international nonprofit. So can you talk a little bit, I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, but what does it feel like to create a global nonprofit in essentially rural Tennessee? It's pretty neat that you're not in this, you know, you're not in New York City, you're not in California, you're not in any major city, yeah. And to create something so globally, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think it's perfect, maybe because I've lived globally, but I've almost always lived rurally, no matter where I've lived, what country. You know, the internet makes it possible. Our team is globally distributed. So Cookeville is our U.S. headquarters, but we've got people in Nashville, Atlanta, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. So to me, it's perfect. I don't want the overhead of an expensive office in a big city. That's unnecessary.
You get the best office around out of the Biz Foundry.
Exactly.
Shameless plug. So tell me some like specific story about somebody that you've impacted or somebody that you've worked with that have really changed your life.
Yeah. So one example, would be a woman in Sierra Leone who had a soap business going. She basically, you know, there's no job market. She's supporting six children on her own, and she's just farming in her backyard. She figured out how to home make some soap and was selling it to neighbors, and it would sell out every time, but she couldn't afford enough palm oil to meet the demand. She also had no experience in money management. She had no idea how to grow a business, how to think about business. So we partnered with her, and $100 loan was enough to buy stock up on palm oil. And alongside the loan, you know, there's lots of micro lending out there, but what our experience is that a loan in and of itself is not enough. A loan will do good for a while, but there needs to be more for it to really last. So she needs to know how
mentorship
to manage cash flow. She needs to know how to think about inventory, how to think about her customers.
How did you find her?
So local organizations hear about us and they reach out to us. So because we're already globally connected because of my history, but other people in the organization as well.
So we have an international superstar in Cookeville, Tennessee, is it?
No, just only in certain small networks. But so a local organization, they reached out to us, and we are equipping them with our toolkit so that they can then do this work without our involvement. So we're working in partnership with them. But in terms of her story, her income was doubled within the first year. Making loan repayments, and she was able to put her daughter in university, first time anyone in their family has ever gone to college, and yeah.
So what's next for Flint Global? Where after, you know, where do you see this in 5-10 years?
We would love to have a global network of entrepreneurship centers, especially in emerging markets, and you know, not the major cities of emerging markets, but areas that are closer to the kinds of people who we're trying to impact. We just want to spread our network to equip more people around the world to use business as a solution to solve these problems, to address poverty.
So you have an entrepreneur center in the works in Kenya. Where would be your next location? What do you think after that?
We have potential opportunities in North Africa and in more rural, like Western China currently. There's potential. So, yeah, where these opportunities come from are shaped by the kinds of people we're already partnered with and serving. And some of them are, they bring these, they're looking for these solutions and looking for someone to help provide it.
What's next for you? Okay, you're starting this nonprofit. Do you think that this is it for the next 30 years? Do you see yourself kind of branching out and doing other things? Do you see yourself staying in Cookeville, Tennessee?
I definitely hope that Cookeville will be my long-term U.S. base indefinitely for a very long term. I also think I'm going to need to spend a significant amount of time in East Africa, probably in Kenya. So I have a home base there as well. But definitely view Cookeville as our American home and our U.S. headquarters. Long term, my goal is to build a team and a global network that doesn't need me.
Real quick, how can people find you? How can people find Flint Global?
FlintGlobal.org. You can find us on Instagram, Flint Global.
And you guys just started a campaign. And so if people make donations to Flint Global right now, because you're kind of in the beginning phases still, so they can get some swag if they donate a certain amount, hats, T-shirts, whatnot.
That's right. We're still we're trying to extend our operating capacity so that we can impact more people. We have people actively reaching out to us who are really need what we do, and we want to be able to serve them. So to do that, we need to raise some more funds, and you can do that at flintglobal.org, and we have perks for monthly donors, from T-shirts to hats to
watercolors.
Original watercolors to all kinds of stuff.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Travis. It was great to hear more about you.
Thank you.